At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1-cubic-foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Dispensing cannabis business knowledge beyond a million square feet of cultivation space, CannabisRadio.com proudly presents Blunt Business, harvested by Strainwise Consulting. Together, we will navigate the challenges and opportunities of one of the most profitable industries on earth. Join us each episode to hear our weekly roundtables and interviews with industry professionals. Now, let's delve into some Blunt Business with your host.
This edition of Blunt Business is brought to you by the 2019 United States Cannabis Conference and Expo. It's coming August 3rd and 4th to Miami, Florida. We hope you'll join us there for the show. It's only days away. Join us and learn more at usccexpo.com. Again, usccexpo.com. We're glad to have you here with us on the program. We talk about what many of the cannabis markets are keeping their eyes on. And people have been asking lately here on this program about how and when Illinois will be the next big market for cannabis in the U.S. Well, my guest, Leonata, is an Oregon-licensed cannabis grower, processor, and wholesaler who firmly supports cannabis legalization in Illinois and social justice in Illinois, but sees major flaws in the approach to a recent legalization bill that has been passed. He's been following the story closely because he was originally was in Illinois, and he's here to talk to us, the chairman and CEO of Green Star Growing, LLC, Jonathan Loiderman. Jonathan, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Good morning, and also afternoon for all those that might be listening, wherever you might be listening and how you might be listening. Let's talk about why you would be such an important person or so qualified to speak on the subject. Now, prior to Green Star, you were an attorney for nearly a decade for the Chicago firm of Lois and Gellin. You chaired for the health law section of the Illinois State Bar Association. You've written numerous published articles on the subject. You were a coordinator, moderator, and speaker multiple times in front of the Illinois State Bar. You spoke about the compassionate use of medical cannabis pilot program to the Chicago Hospital Risk Management Society. Says you're qualified. What compelled you to stay on the case to see legalization become reality in Illinois?
Well, the first thing is I can't take any credit for legalization in Illinois. Okay. And I know folks like Dan Lynn at Illinois Normal have worked for many years to make all this possible. And legalization is an important step forward in Illinois. For me, I've maintained interest in Illinois because I grew up there. My family is from Illinois. I'm from Illinois. My investors are from Illinois, and many of those folks are from rural parts of the state. And we really wanted to give an opportunity for folks in rural parts of Illinois to participate in the 21st century economy. There's lots of things like tech and PC and internet and mobile and all these things, and a lot of these developments have left folks in rural areas behind. Cannabis is something that offers a unique opportunity for a high growth, high margin industry where people in rural parts of a state like Illinois could really participate. And I think it could be a game changer there in the way that it has in Oregon.
Now, to give those of you that you were not aware of what happened, with a bipartisan vote of 66-47, this is a story from the Chicago Tribune, the House approved the bill, passed by the Senate, and Governor J.B. Pritzker would go ahead and sign a bill that he's calling the most equity-centric approach in the nation, saying it would have a transformational impact on the state, creating opportunity in communities needing it most, giving so many a second chance. Now, in this bill, it is said that an Illinois cannabis legalization bill would allow up to possession up to 30 grams and 5 plants grown at home. The law would not only legalize adult use in Illinois for residents 21 and over, it would also include a $20 million low-interest loan program to promote social equity and business ownership and expungement of misdemeanor and Class 4 felony marijuana convictions. Now, what do you think about, as I just mentioned, what the bill covers, which sounds like it covers a lot, and I'm not sure what how many more limitations or how much the bill really has helped the community to really get the Illinois marijuana market off and running. How does it compare against other bills that have been passed in other legal states?
So in terms of the possession limits and how much folks are able to have and use, it's pretty comparable to other states. The home grow provision, which was originally in an earlier version of the bill, eventually got trimmed down to medical patients. So if you're over 21 and you don't have a medical card, you would not be able to home grow under the version of this bill that's passed. And although I'm an advocate for home grow, I think folks should be able to do it regardless of whether they have a medical card or not. The base, what this means for cannabis consumers and cannabis users is good in the sense that they are going to see something very similar to what exists in states like Colorado and Oregon and California from a consumer standpoint. The issues that I take with this bill have to do with the structural implications of the bill and how the licensing works.
So let's go ahead and do this. We're going to step away to a quick commercial break. We'll go ahead and go more into what the bill entails. And we'll talk more here with Jonathan Loiterman about Green Star Growing, and we'll get a little chance to learn about what he's doing in Oregon and why they moved over to Oregon for what he's doing now. So we'll talk about that coming after the break. But first, got to talk to you about the USSC Expo that's coming into Miami August 3rd and 4th. Now, again, we've been talking about this for months here, and I really need to go put the push out here for all of you to join yours truly and the rest of the Cannabis Radio team. We have a lot of hosts from the network that will be joining us. Our host of our brand-new show, Plant Profits, Burt Miller, he'll be at the show. Our host of the Concierge for Better Living, Dr. Rob Streisfeld, he'll be joining us as well. Of course, we have lots of great speakers going to be at the event. I know that we have some that are still yet to be announced that we have not put the public announcement on, and we're keeping them towards the last minute. But again, everything from cultivation to branding and towards the mainstream, and for how cannabis is being portrayed in the mainstream media, to pets, to medical evaluation education. There's just so much to go and learn about. Doctors, we hope you'll join us for our physician training and certification program. You could take the exam on Friday, August 2nd. And really, if you want to take the exam, you're welcome to become a certified medical marijuana physician. Patients, all weekend long, we will have medical doctors on site so that we can evaluate you so you can quickly and easily get your medical marijuana card at a great price. When you know how much it is to get a Florida medical marijuana card these days, to get the break is very important, very helpful. Education, speed networking, powerful keynotes, a very interactive exhibitor space awaits you at the 2019 United States Cannabis Conference and Expo. It's August 3rd and 4th in Miami, Florida. Log on to usccexpo.com. Secure your tickets today. Back with Jonathan Loiterman here on Blunt Business after this.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Cannabis industry professionals, want to gain some new leads? Make genuine business connections and get premier brand exposure? This is your opportunity. NCIA's new industry socials are coming soon to Portland, Maine, New Jersey, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Miami. Sponsorship opportunities available. Register today.
Hey, take a look at this. They're selling smart pots.
They have pot that can make you smart? Where is it?
Not that kind of pot. Smart pots are the best aeration container to grow your plants. Check this out. This is the original fabric container for faster producing, healthier plants. They're made with a superior fabric that delivers high yields. Plus, smart pots are reusable and sustainable, so you can use them over and over again, no matter if you use them indoor or outdoor.
That's very smart, but how good are they for the environment?
Smart pots are BPA-free and lead-free, so you'll always be able to ensure a pure, clean grow, and they're 100% made in the U.S. Over 28 million smart pots have already been sold, so it seems like a smart investment.
Look for smart pots in close to 2,000 garden centers throughout North America and ask for the original fabric container. Find a store near you or order yours online at smartpots.com.
educate, empower, and engage in the evolution of the cannabis industry. Join thousands of industry professionals on August 3rd and 4th in Miami, Florida for the return of the U.S. Cannabis Conference and Expo inside the Hyatt Regency in downtown Miami. Register before May 1st for an early bird discount of 50% off now at usccexpo.com. That's usccexpo.com. Join us for the 2019 U.S. Cannabis Conference and Expo August 3rd and 4th in Miami. Register now at usccexpo.com.
I hope you didn't forget about us, because we're back with Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back. I'm here with Jonathan Loiderman, the chairman and CEO at Green Star Growing, LLC. Also is a former lawyer practicing in the state of Illinois. And we're here to go ahead and talk more about the Illinois legalization bill that just recently passed. Let's talk about more of the rules behind it, Jonathan. Under these rules now, no new large-scale commercial growers will be permitted to set up shop here, at least for now. Instead, the focus would be on small craft growers with an emphasis on helping people of color become entrepreneurs in the cannabis industry. In addition, adults will be allowed to grow up to 5 plants per household. We said it has to be in a locked room out of public view with the permission of the landowner. Now, why are these caveats in place? And are there any cannabis business owners or large owners that are already looking to set up shop that are now locked out?
Absolutely. And there's a bunch of issues that you brought up to unpack here. You know, you talked about a little bit about social justice. You talked a little bit about, you know, public view. And you talked a little bit about some of the licensing things. And I'd like to touch on all of that. And so in terms of social justice, I certainly, you know, I support the goals of this bill in terms of providing opportunities for people who are harmed by prohibition. And although you did mention people of color, the bill doesn't actually specify that, and it can't specify that, because that would be unconstitutional for the bill to specifically provide benefits to a particular ethnic or racial group. And so what the bill does is it gives advantages to people that have been convicted of crime, arrested or convicted or charged with crimes that are eligible for expungement under the bill. It also gives those folks, as well as people who live in what are called disproportionately impacted areas, additional points on a scoring system where their applications would be scored, but doesn't necessarily mean people of color. And the definition of a disproportionately impacted area, it's not clearly specified in the statute. It's actually a decision that would be made by the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity under this bill. And so what it means is that it's not politicians in Springfield that are making this decision. It's bureaucrats that are unaccountable that are making the decision of what qualifies as a disproportionately impacted area. There are some economic parameters that constrain this, but I think a lot of folks are looking at this, and they, given Illinois' history, they're thinking the fix is in. Illinois has a well-earned reputation for political corruption and license selling. In fact, one of the politicians who supported this bill and actually was a co-sponsor and subsequently retracted her sponsorship of the bill because she's under investigation for essentially selling access to licenses for these. And so
let's talk about that part right there. I want to ask you, you just got me right into my next question. So we're talking about Senator Patricia Van Pelt, Chicago Democrat, removed as a co-sponsor about this report. She was selling tickets to her Get Rich Quick seminars where she offered investment tips on hot cannabis stocks. So in other words, she was basically caught selling access to the program before the rules had even been passed, before the application forms had even been drafted. So now she stepped down as a co-sponsor, hasn't committed to abstain from voting on the issue, which I don't know if she did or not, and agreed to divest herself of her interest in a cannabis industry she had planned to have licensed in Illinois. According to a summary from Pritzker's office, sorry, I'm all about context here, Jonathan. Permit fees would be $100,000 for growers and $30,000 for retailers, with lower fees for applicants. from minority areas disproportionately affected by convictions in the war on drugs. There would also be the business development fee of 5% of total sales, or $500,000, whichever is less, for cultivators, and up to $200,000 for dispensaries with lower fees for social equity applicants. Now, cultivators, actually, I'll get back to the rest of that in a second, but so far, it's so much red tape they're putting here, and already so much corruption, which I guess that's nothing new for the city of Chicago and for the state of Illinois these days. Are you surprised by all this going on and why this was all happening underneath everybody's nose?
You know, I'm disappointed, but I can't say that I'm surprised. This is, you know, from my experience, things went down in a very similar way in the medical program in 2015, which is that they had a limited number of licenses available for the medical program. And those 20 licenses that were available, that's all people applied for them. They were, none of the scores were ever released to anybody. Maybe half a dozen companies got all of the licenses. So it wasn't even, you know, one license for 20 different groups. It was a bunch of, you know, a handful of companies got all the licenses. Those licenses will be grandfathered in essentially to a status for which no one else will even be able to apply until 2021. And when they do, there will only be 10 of those cultivation center licenses that the legacy medical growers have. The details are important on this because the legacy medical cannabis growers, they will have the ability to have 100,000 square feet of indoor canopy per license. Several of them have two or three licenses, which gives them 200,000 or 300,000 square feet of canopy. By comparison, the craft grower licenses are only allowed initially a maximum of 5,000 square feet, and they can only have one such license. So if you add up all the numbers for how many licenses there are and how many square feet they have, you have a situation where one individual company, like one individual company that's a legacy or a couple of them, will have more individual cultivation capacity than all of the craft growers combined, at least initially. There's some terms in the bill that give the Department of Agriculture the ability to adjust this slightly, but it never strays from giving the legacy medical growers a massive dominance in the production and distribution of cannabis in the state of Illinois. And what you're really talking about with these craft grower licenses is a second class license for second class citizenship in this new market. That because if you're limited to 5,000 square feet of canopy, no matter what you do, you cannot unseat the dominance of those existing players. They are going to be the winners here, and nothing that you can do in the marketplace is ever going to change that, because the law will prevent you from scaling your business, no matter how successful you are. And those guys who are largely secret, the law protects them from having their information disclosed. They may have change this or adjust this a little bit, but the bill hasn't passed yet. The governor of Illinois has very sophisticated veto powers to line item veto, so we'll have to see what final form this bill is in. But there's tremendous cause for concern about the fact that the supply of cannabis would be so concentrated in Illinois, and that despite the talk about, you know, how this is going to create opportunities for people, it's really not creating opportunities for them on a level playing field. It's putting them in a second class position.
Oh, totally.
Behind these legacy players.
This has been it's almost 2 weeks to the day that the bill was passed in the House after the Senate did, and the governor promised this. Why is it taking so long for him to sign it?
I think that there was a bunch of very large initiatives that were on the governor's plate. There was a sports betting bill. Uh-huh. There was a multi-billion dollar infrastructure package. They had to pass a budget, which in Illinois is always a very contentious matter because the company has been the state has been hemorrhaging money, and they've got big budget problems, and they're trying to fix these budget problems, at least in part, on the back of the cannabis industry.
And I guess
and
with the
reason to be concerned,
looking on the outside, looking in, I go with the Jussie Smollett case and the issues regarding the U.S. Attorney there. I guess that would also be another portion of the issue, because he's also spoken out about that as well.
I guess I wouldn't speak to the Jussie Smollett case. I can't.
No, I'm just saying his involvement. In that, but it's another thing he might have to handle on top of the sports betting, on top of the budget. Yeah. But people are asking for it.
DA's office.
Yeah. And I'm just, for me, it's a lot of things. A lot of safeguards I feel like are just over the top, number one. Let's talk about a couple of those because I just saw some of the other things. It's just, I mean, really so much going on here. The bill also is supposed to allow employers to maintain a zero tolerance policy for cannabis in the workplace, create a task force to the Illinois State Police to examine ways to enforce DUI laws. So again, that's going to probably get taken over the top. Local governments will have wide-ranging control over zoning for marijuana-related businesses, including the ability to prohibit them. And then you have the part that is the tax problem, which is another issue. Cultivators and processors would pay a 7% of gross sales to dispensaries, consumers a 10% sales tax on products with less than 35% THC, 20% for all cannabis-infused products, such as edibles, 25% sales tax on products with more than 35% THC, such as concentrated extracts known as shatter and wax. This is ridiculous. Is this just typical of what happens in the state? I mean, when you thought this bill was getting put together and you were, you know, sitting behind advocating and pushing for this legislation to come in and lobbying for it, in more words, are you surprised they put all this in here to make sure they got a great cash grab to make it really hard for you to be comfortable to consume it?
I think, you know, again, I would say I'm disappointed but not surprised. And even states that are as progressive as Oregon on issues like this, they still have, you know, they tried to pass and the bill failed in Oregon this year, a bill that would have limited employers' ability to discipline or terminate employees for off-hours use for cannabis. A lot of people are afraid that, you know, their taxi driver or their doctor or their lawyer or some other professional is going to be intoxicated when they're doing their job. And, you know, that can still happen. And there's plenty of reasons for people to be disciplined for that if they're not able to do their job. But that's par for the course everywhere. The same with the zoning. You know, lots of municipalities, even in Oregon, still have the ability to ban licenses outright in their jurisdiction. Cannabis, although it's progressive and a lot of things have happened, because it's remains when legalization happens, legalization doesn't mean, well, we're going to treat cannabis like corn or soybeans. No. It means that we're going to regulate it to the maximum extent that politicians can come up with. And so it tends to be subject to the worst abuses of government.
No,
it tends to be subject to overreach at every possible angle. So you've got the taxes that are very high, and you've got zoning regulation, you've got employer regulation, you can't use it in public, you can't, you know, even today in Oregon, and I think this is probably years away in a state like Illinois, is social consumption. So in Oregon, there's nowhere that you can go that's something like a bar or a nightclub where you can consume cannabis with other people indoors. There's a few exceptions for private clubs and things like that, but for the most part, that experience doesn't exist for most people in legal markets, and certainly Illinois doesn't allow anything of the sort. And so, you know, there's, even though we have fought for legalization, I think maybe what the term that I like is normalization, which is that, okay, cannabis may be legal, but it's still so regulated, it's still so controlled that it doesn't feel all that much like freedom. It still feels like a lot of control. I'm very grateful for legalization. I think it's a wonderful step forward. Despite my criticisms of the bill in Illinois, we can fix these things through the democratic process in the future. And on balance, you know, legalization is better than continuing to imprison people and ruin people's lives and break up families over, you know, simple possession and that sort of thing. So I do think the bill is a step in the right direction, but, you know, we've talked about a lot of consequences here. One other thing I wanted to touch on was you brought up the taxes.
Yeah.
Tax regime in Illinois, very complicated, lots of different rates for different types of products. They have different size limitations for in-state versus out-of-state. I think they may have a different tax schedule. Very difficult to implement, very complicated.
Yeah.
And, you know, the issues that I brought up with the supply indicate, you know, would suggest with the basic economic theory that you're going to see very high prices in Illinois. You already do in the medical program. Illinois has one of the highest spot prices for cannabis in the country right now. And when you're going to limit supply and you're going to control that supply and it's very small number of hands, you're going to see relatively limited adoption of the legal markets. And this is what we've seen in some states like California, which is not quite as where the supply isn't regulated, but they have really high taxes in California. And when it's overregulated and overtaxed, a lot of consumers just say, I'm going to continue to buy from my dealer. I don't need to mess with this. I don't want to pay, you know, a huge
Jonathan, it's a problem with every state that has. I'll tell you, because when it comes to California, we've talked about that a lot, about everything from the issues with black markets still being a problem, with illegal grows, with those that are just being listed on dispensary apps to be noticed as dispensaries to go to, and a lot of cracking down. And I'll tell you, yes, mark the abacus, you know, let's go ahead and mark another state off, number 11 for the state of Illinois to become legalized for cannabis in the country out of 50. And the history of Illinois and cannabis has been something else. 1931 prohibition. You know, the 1978 Control Act, which allowed for medical marijuana, but action was required by two state departments, Human Services and the state police. Never happened. 2013, the pilot program, which you were definitely a part of and helped get into play. Then decriminalization in 2016. Then the proposal of this bill in 2017. Medical cannabis expansion last year, and now we're here. And the other thing I have a problem with is something that I don't understand hasn't been done yet. I have a question about who's going to be regulating this. I want to talk about that with you coming up after the break, and a little bit about Green Star Growing. I want to talk about with you in just a moment, but we'll go ahead and continue here in just a second. The mind-boggling case of Illinois legalization of cannabis here on Blunt Business. Again, you're being exposed to the truth and the real story behind it, which is, you know, oh, hey, got legalized, yay! But man, there are so many things behind this in the normal construct of Illinois politics and law enforcement that, again, like you said, not surprising, and I agree with you, Jonathan. So we'll be back here with Jonathan Lloydman in just a moment with more Blunt Business after this.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business. Educate, empower, and engage in the evolution of the cannabis industry. Join thousands of industry professionals on August 3rd and 4th in Miami, Florida for the return of the U.S. Cannabis Conference and Expo inside the Hyatt Regency in downtown Miami. Register before May 1st for an early bird discount of 50% off now at usccexpo.com. That's usccexpo.com. Join us for the 2019 U.S. Cannabis Conference and Expo August 3rd and 4th in Miami. Register now at usccexpo.com.
Now available for pre-order through crowdfunding for just $14 plus $10 shipping. Pouches, premium mixing and rolling pouches, allow you to carry and prepare your herbs for consumption with discretion and ease. These stylish pouches are handcrafted using strong zips, long-wearing buffalo leather outside, and smooth sheepskin inside. A portion of proceeds go to fund vital medical research into cannabis for ADHD. See a demo and get yours now on Indiegogo or pouches.com. That's pouchz.com.
Hey, take a look at this. They're selling smart pots.
They have pot that can make you smart? Where is it?
Not that kind of pot. Smart pots are the best aeration container to grow your plants. Check this out. This is the original fabric container for faster producing, healthier plants. They're made with a superior fabric that delivers high yields. Plus, smart pots are reusable and sustainable, so you can use them over and over again, no matter if you use them indoor or outdoor.
That's very smart, but how good are they for the environment?
Smart pots are BPA-free and lead-free, so you'll always be able to ensure a pure, clean grow, and they're 100% made in the U.S. Over 28 million smart pots have already been sold, so it seems like a smart investment.
Look for smart pots in close to 2,000 garden centers throughout North America and ask for the original fabric container. Find a store near you or order yours online at smartpots.com.
I hope you didn't forget about us, because we're back
with Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com.
Back with final questions with Jonathan Loiderman here on Blunt Business. So, Governor Pritzker, besides the fact he has not signed the bill, which, okay, we'll give benefit of the doubt. There's obviously some other things on his plate. What he also hasn't done yet, he has not appointed who would become a cannabis regulation oversight officer, who would recommend changes to the law and rules, and would coordinate regulation among the departments of agriculture, revenue, financial and professional regulation, state police, public health, commerce and economic opportunity, and human services. Are you surprised we haven't seen the formation of any kind of a cannabis control board or any health services being involved as of yet?
I think that, you know, a lot of the appointment process is going to occur after the bill is signed by the governor. I do expect the governor to sign it probably this week. But the appointment of an authority like that would come after the bill was signed. But it's important to talk about, you know, what it, the significance of having an authority like that, because there is no central, you know, the Illinois law does not contemplate a central regulatory authority for cannabis. Cannabis regulation is farmed out, different pieces of it are farmed out to different agencies, which is pretty inefficient and is likely to create a lot of confusion. I think the legislators in Illinois recognize that, and they try to, the bill has a concept of this sort of czar position that is going to keep the Department of Agriculture and the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation and some of the other agencies that are involved here in law enforcement all on the same page. But I think the legislators really underestimated how difficult and complex cannabis legalization is. The bill really deals with a lot of the pie-cutting issues about who's going to get the money and who's going to get the licenses and all these things, but it doesn't say a lot about things like testing and labor standards and, you know, safety in the industry and what kinds of products. You know, a lot of that stuff is being left to the regulators. And how much authority this czar is going to have, considering that he's coming from outside of those agencies, it's a big question about how that is going to work with the different personalities that are running those agencies and how they're going to interface with this program director and what authority he's really going to have to tell them to change policy inside of an organization that he's not a part of, or he or she is not a part of. It's a serious concern, and it's one of the reasons why, you know, cannabis is so difficult to implement, because you necessarily are going to have all these different pieces that, of the government that are touched by this, and their efforts need to be coordinated, and they need to be well considered. They've done some things with this. I think, you know, Oregon has a pretty good approach with this, in that a lot of authority with this is vested in the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, and it's less divided among all these different things about setting policy for cannabis. I think that makes the policy that comes out a little bit more coherent, but we will have to see. It's another important thing about these legislation is, you know, we're seeing this bill. What this bill is going to do is tell you know, the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation, the Department of Agriculture, and other agencies to go and write a bunch more rules to implement this. And we're not going to see those rules for quite some time. And you're probably not going to see those rules be written or published in draft form until later this year or early 2020. And almost as soon as those rules are out, the applications are going to be due. So a lot of things are happening in Illinois cannabis. The bill is just one piece of it. It's going to be all the implementing regulations, and there's going to be a lot of twists and turns. And then there's going to be local regulation. The state empowers local government to put in place zoning standards and other types of issues, and all those things are going to happen too. And that process is uncertain from where we stand now at all those other levels of government. And we're going to watch and see how it plays out over the next couple of years.
Interesting as well, as a historical moment for this, that Illinois is going to become the first state to legalize cannabis sales through legislation, which nobody else has done. I'm really surprised it actually happened, but that's something that's very significant. But again, there's so much upside, obviously, with this bill, if everything comes in right, because the word is, okay, this is $1.6 billion estimated per year to be brought into as revenue for the government. I mean, listen, it's a cash grab. They're getting all this, but they're making it so hard to go ahead and make this bill really stand out and really flourish, because they're leaving out large businesses. They're pushing the social equity portion, which is fine, but then again, there's only so much allowed to grow inside your home. There's only so much that can be done in terms of how much you could profit because of the amount of taxes, the amount of fees, or what kind of things can be done in terms of what law enforcement can do to shut down anybody using it. Like, it's very controlled. It's very authoritarian, I feel like. And it's, I mean, people can say it's, I mean, we're happy that it happened here, but you have to admit this is so handicapping and so, I feel like we're handcuffed from so many different things to be able to do here. So for those big businesses that are out there, you know, the thought of, oh, we're going to come in a new market, they got to be disappointed.
I think, you know, it's a double-edged sword because, you know, even though there's lots of folks that want to come into Illinois, and even though the program is flawed in terms of the licensing, and I think that it's really unfair that, you know, the social equity licenses are going to be distributed in this second-class citizen kind of way. I think, frankly, I think it's rather insulting for those people. The flip side of it is that because there's only going to be a limited number of licenses, and Illinois is, I think, the fifth most populous state in the U.S., it's still going to be a big opportunity, and I think that's why people are excited about it. I just think it's important for people to step back and look at the whole picture and say, well, yeah, it's great that those craft growers are going to have this huge opportunity, but you know, what happens next, which is if they do very, very well and they want to grow their business, the government is telling them, no, you can't. And I know a 5,000 square foot indoor canopy, if you make a hit product, you want to distribute it around the state of Illinois, you're not going to be able to do it.
No.
You're going to have to, you know, you're either going to have to buy supply from other people. If it's processed stuff, you know, you can have a processor license, and the processors are not production limited, but they have to acquire supply in this same market, which includes those legacy medical producers who also are automatically get processing license too, which means that if you're a processor, you're probably going to have to buy your supply from your direct competitor. Very vulnerable position to be in. And you know, is it workable? Are those licensees going to do well? Yeah, they probably will, but it's going to lead to high prices for Illinois consumers, restricted tax revenues, and a legal market that is very resilient, because high prices will drive consumers out of the legal regulated markets.
So I have a million more questions to ask. When it's all this, it's mind-boggling and baffling, and just it really bothers me, and it pains to see what happened here and how this bill got implemented. I almost feel like it's the way it was compared to how Canada legalized, it's the same thing. I feel like it's just so much restriction and the kind of freedom for those who were thinking, man, we're going to build dispensaries in Chicago and we're going to go ahead and take care of the third most populous city in the country, a beacon for many around the world. And I'm like, well, no, we're not going to get like that. And even if we're going to try, so much red tape and so many different, you have to play basically business limbo in order to make this work for any company out there. So I can only imagine. But I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some great creativity as to how people are going to try to work around the system to be able to get into this market, because it's very important to get into this market for many out there as we continue to see more chances to, you know, kind of connect the dots around the coast to coast around the U.S., to get more places to go. Hopefully some interstate commerce, things like that can happen down the line between, say, Chicago, Illinois, Michigan, things like that. We're waiting. And for yourself, I guess, still being in Oregon, what can you tell me about, can anything be done in terms of any amendments that will address some of these other issues at all, or is this just going to have to wait to go back to the legislation again? And how focused are you still going to stay on top of this, I guess, while you're in Oregon?
So there absolutely there will be chances to change things in Illinois. And it's something that I think is the positive about things like this, which is that, you know, I'm hoping that cannabis consumers that are serious about this issue are going to use it as an opportunity to learn about political activism and how the process works and how they can be an advocate for change with it. This bill was, you know, was hidden for most people. You couldn't even see this bill until the 7th, and that was passed in, for the governor to sign 3 weeks later. There's so many things about this bill that we didn't even touch on, and we're not going to be able to touch on in the limited time we have today, that are flawed, that the legislators know that they were flawed, that when they held the hearings on this, they said essentially, oh, we'll fix that in the follow-up bill. We'll fix that in the follow-on bill. And so there's going to be a follow-on bill that addresses a number of things. The state is definitely not done with cannabis regulation, because the history shows that there are going to be a bunch of things that are broken, not just in my opinion, but the opinion of the people who the politicians pay attention to. And so there will be legislation in the future. I think one of the things that I've been advocating, and that I would encourage other consumers to advocate, is that Illinois have an open licensing model where anybody who gets a license, or anyone who wants a license, if you can have, you know, the local approval, and you comply with all the rules about where your site is, and you meet certain minimum sensible standards, and you pay a reasonable fee, you can have a license, and you can compete with everybody else. That tends to be a market that, you know, the legacy medical players, they don't want to see that, because it means that they're going to have competition from people that produce products much more efficiently and put higher quality, lower, more affordable products than they're producing. They are terrified of that, and that's why they advocated for this bill, and they want to keep it that way. But if you really want to provide opportunity for people that were harmed by prohibition, you need to do what Oregon did, which is to tell people, hey, if you're in the illegal market, come join us in the legal market. We want you to convert your business into a legitimate one, and we're going to provide a path for you to do that. Illinois is telling those people, pound sand, we don't want you. We're going to give it to the most of it to these legacy medical companies, and a handful of it is going to be given to, you know, the social justice, social equity applicants in this round. But the process really suggests that the recipients of those licenses aren't going to be the people that were primarily harmed by prohibition. It's going to be people that are very close and very tied in with government, which tends to be not the people, but not the populations that were harmed by prohibition. They tend to not be politically connected folks. And I think that's what you're going to see with some of the licenses on these. We're going to take a good look at what the final rules are. The statute doesn't lay everything out. There's going to be enabling or enacting regulation by these different agencies. We're going to take a very close look at that.
And I'll tell you, I think there's a point where something to be said about how the social equity would be, and nobody wants to hear this, but I feel like it's identity politics being played to the max. And it's unfortunate, because it takes away from those that could really, and I'm not saying there's not going to be some good people that will be able to go and start businesses here and really do something well. I mean, that's a good head start, and I understand that, but it should be just be an open forum for everybody to go ahead and make money off of this. And this is something they're going to have to work on. There's a lot of things to work on here, and like you said, I hope there are those that are going to learn to be political activists, especially with the Illinois government, and they're going to have to be strong and aggressive on trying to get things changed to make sure when this bill is put together and the market is set, that a lot of things will be put into place, and not to leave it at the hands of a czar, if you will, that might just have the best interest of the government and not necessarily of the citizens that ask for this for a long time. So, Jonathan, we're running out of time. We're already past time, so I want to go ahead and make sure to take a minute or two to let you talk about what you're doing now in Oregon with Green Star Growing. Again, the website is greenstargrowing.com. Take a minute to talk to listeners about what you're working on these days over there and what are some of the products you provide.
Well, thanks so much for the opportunity to chat a little bit about what we do with Green Star Growing in Oregon. And we're really focused on craft cannabis, not as a limitation on our production, but in terms of the quality and authenticity of what we produce. So our flagship product is called Green Star Naturals, and it's a CO2 processed vape cartridge. And our big thing with this is that we don't put anything but cannabis in there. No propylene glycol, no vegetable glycerin, no artificial flavors, no nothing. And we do a single process full spectrum oil, which preserves the natural cannabinoid balance and the natural terpene balance of the original flower that we started with. What we produce in these CO2 cards, single strain, single source, and it really captures the the flavor and experience of smoking whole flower cannabis with the safety and convenience of a vape card. Nice. And we're really excited about the process that we've developed with Green Star Naturals, and people really enjoy it. We've done a bunch of different things. We do, you know, high THC stuff, but it's not maximized for high THC. In order, you know, our big philosophy is, well, if you're producing as high as possible THC, then you have to get rid of everything else that was in there. And we think that the marijuana plant and cannabis flowers are a miracle of nature, and we try to respect that as much as possible with Green Star Naturals and how we process the flower into this product. The other critical product for us is Travelers. It's our brand of pre-rolls. And we take a lot of pride in engineering how our pre-rolls are put together so that you get a smooth, even burn, and it doesn't burn out while you're smoking it. And as well as it maintains its moisture in the package, we've got a special moisturizing disc that gets packaged with all of our joints. And I think they're great products for people that really are cannabis enthusiasts. You know, we're not trying to, you know, we really want to provide great, high quality products at affordable prices for everyone. And it's really what our goal is. And we want to be really accessible for a lot of folks that are new to cannabis, as well as folks that are enthusiasts and have been using it for many years.
Excellent. Very good to hear. So, again, Jonathan Loiderman, again, with Green Star Growing, Chairman and CEO of Green Star Growing LLC. And also, you know, thank you for taking time to talk about that. And also, thank you for filling us in on the Illinois cannabis legalization. I'm sure we'll have a lot more to talk about that here on the show. And hope we get the chance to bring you on back at some point.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much for having me on. It's been a thrill chatting with you. And I'm very thankful for the opportunity. And I hope that your listeners will pay heed to what we've talked about. And when legalization comes up in their states, that they're looking at who's actually writing these bills. You know, send them emails, send them faxes, send them letters. Let them know how you feel.
Let's make sure to get the word out.
They do pay attention to this
right.
Stuff.
I'm so sorry. We're so behind on time. I must go and cut this short. But thank you, Jonathan, again, for helping out and joining us here on the program. Folks, so again, usccexpo.com. Thanks to our wonderful sponsor. Make sure to join us Miami, Florida, August 3rd and 4th. Again, usccexpo.com, the 2019 United States Cannabis Conference and Expo at the Hyatt Regency in downtown Miami. Thanks for joining us. You can download past episodes. Go to cannabisradio.com. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. Thanks for listening. The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without proper consent of CannabisRadio.com is prohibited.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.